Start out this evening. Let me see. I want to finish what I was going through in Sunday school, so I want to kind of I want to go through that just quickly. So, how many of y'all were in Sunday school Sunday morning? How many were not in Sunday school? That might be okay. So, well, I don't know if it's worth it for y'all. No. I shouldn't be like that. I know, but it's fine. All right. Let's see. Let me just quickly run through it, and I'll get through that, and then we'll move on. All right. We were looking at Sunday morning a close look at the command and to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, and had talked about some questions that really has to I think needs to be asked. If that command is a legitimate or is it a literal command? In other words, when the Lord said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, did he really mean that one local church that he was talking to, the, if you will, First Baptist of Jerusalem, amen, when he gave that command to those folks, did he really intend for them to reach the world for Christ? I mean, was that his true intention? To everybody, anywhere, everywhere, that church of 120 folks had the responsibility to reach everybody in the world. Was that a literal command? And if it is, then, what's the proof that the command is literal? And it begs the question, if God really didn't expect it to be fulfilled, because I've already given away the punchline earlier, but see, most people today do not really believe that the Great Commission can be fulfilled or that it has ever been fulfilled. In fact, I'll just ask it again. How many of y'all think it has been fulfilled sometime during from the time that the commission was given there at Christ's ministry, and specifically, when after his death, in between his death and the time that he arose to heaven for the last time, he made it real clear. In fact, turn to Acts chapter 1 so that we have a good reference there for it. I'll catch that in a little bit. Look at it. It says verse 3. It says, to whom also he, Jesus, showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, look at this, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So from the day that he's resurrected, for the next 40 days, they see Christ from time to time. And during that 40 days, now, is when he really makes the command clear. That's when we find Matthew 28 given. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe. What's that to observe mean? Y'all help me out here. To do. Thank you. Who said that over here? Amen. It is not to see or view. See, that to do is important, folks. See, Christianity is not a philosophy. And if all we do is teach, and listen to me now, let me get on my hobby horse over here. Too many times, see, that's what we're doing in our Sunday schools and stuff. All we're doing is teaching for knowledge. That's unscriptural. See, it says teaching them to observe, to do all things whatsoever I've commanded you. See, Christianity is not a philosophy. Christianity is a lifestyle. Amen? And see, that's part of the problem of today. That's why the evangelicals can be so popular. See, they do not expect anybody to do. All they want to do is just teach. And see, we, again, folks, we have to be separate from that. Amen or not? Amen. Isn't that right? I am not an evangelical. And that's not my crowd. Amen. See, I have an expectation, and just like your pastor does, that listen, what he preaches is what he expects you to do. Amen? Brother Chad yesterday at the end, as we were closing there, I was telling him, listen, and I'll do the same here in a few days. If when we preach, it does not profit you and there is no expectation of commitment, then what are we doing? See, this is a to-do, amen? So understand, when he gives that great commission during those 40 days, go ye in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. My Father hath sent me, even so send I you. There in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. Go on down to verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by him in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, look at this. Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. See, there was an expectation. Jesus had just told them, you'll be witnesses. I mean, he's given them he's made it clear what our job is, amen? Our marching orders. And they're standing around, and I get it. You know, I've been with them. Here Jesus just goes up, and I think I'd have been, you know, amen? I've been catching flies too. But the angel said, what are y'all doing? See, he just told you what to do, and you standing around gazing. And can I say to you, man, you know, Christ had an urgency about the command that he left. So understand, man, if God really expected us to, if he did not expect us to fulfill that command, what does that say about God? And what does it say about us if we really don't believe the command can be fulfilled or has not been fulfilled? What does that say about us? So we need to understand that you know, the command is literal. We looked at the writers as they gave the command. They wrote it as if they really thought it was literal. See, the church there in Jerusalem thought it was literal. We could go through and look how they had, they've got 120 on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 get saved. That's 3,120. Over the next 5 years, I'll take a little license, but it says in chapter 2 in verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So let's say that over the next 5 years, they had 880 additions. I think that's legitimate. That makes 4,000. Then we go to Acts chapter 4, and we find another 5,000 getting saved in verse 4. Then it says later that they, look at the verses here. I know I've got them. In chapter 5, in verse 5, no, excuse me, verse 14, believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. Again, I'd say it like this. I believe in an every word Bible. You notice the word multitudes there is plural. Amen. If you go back to Fish Sandwich Sunday, y'all remember those? Had 5,000 one day, 4,000 another. If you look at both of those passages there in Matthew, it uses the word multitude, singular. See, I told you I'm retarded Texan, amen. I just believe the Bible. We can look at it and draw conclusions in that if a multitude is 5,000 or a multitude's 4,000, then multitudes, I think I'm safe in saying, is 9,000. Amen? So that would give us now, I've got already 4,000 and another 5,000, that's 9,000. Now add another 9,000 according to verse 14. That gives me 18,000. Now go down to chapter 6 and verse 1. It says, and in those days when the number of the disciples was, what's that next word? Multiplied. So what's the least number we could multiply by? Well, you're not getting anywhere like that, amen. Is that your boy? Yeah. Let's go with at least two, amen, brother. All right. You could be from Texas, couldn't you? I'm going to sign you up, retarded Texan. Amen. Two. Amen. Two, brother Todd. Two. All right. So now what do we got? We got 18,000 times two. Where are we? All right. Now go to verse 7 there in chapter 6. The word of God increased and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem. What's that next word? Greatly. Now again, I'm a Texan. Everything's big down there. Amen. Now, I could really get wild right here, but let's just be conservative. I think let's just go 10. How many is that? So that's 360,000. Within the first 10 years, they got a church of 360,000 there in Jerusalem. You think those folks thought that command was literal? They took it like it was literal. And see, I said this on Sunday first. I believe the alternative is that either God's a great tyrant that gave us a command that cannot be fulfilled, or He gave us a command that can be fulfilled if we'll follow His method. See, the problem's not with God. We just, you know, we don't like to admit it, and we don't like people telling us. But folks, we are backslidden here in America. We've gotten to where we don't believe this book. This is the truth. And preacher, you can, now it's your son's over there in Cape Verde, and you've seen it more. You've even said something, I'm sure, since. See, what we've done is Americanize this book. We have. See, there's something about American exceptionalism, and I believe in that. I do. I believe where God has given us favor like no other nation that He's ever given favor. But see, because of that, we have a pride issue. We have an ego issue. See, we think Jesus is a Caucasian like us. Yeah, amen. We do. He's not.
You mean he's not?
He's and honest, we think we're the center of the world. And can I tell you, it's over yonder in Jerusalem. It's not here. See, this thing ain't going to be around forever. Jerusalem going to be around. Amen. And so, see, we've got to admit our thinking is screwy. And until we get to where we can think that way and admit that, we're never going to have revival here in America. Because we will not change what we're doing. Because we think, man, I mean, we're all right. We're Americans. Economy's great. I mean, we know, every one of us knows spiritually our nation is in a mess. But we're all right because the economy's good. I can own me a couple of guns. Amen. Say amen right there, Brother John. I'm trying to help you. Huh? We can all hate the politicians, Democrat, Republicans. Say amen right there. Amen. But we cannot, we refuse somehow to get a hold of this thing that we're in trouble spiritually. And we are not doing what it's going to take to have revival. See, if we were really, now I'm getting ready for a revival next week, so y'all just hang on, amen. If we really thought we could have revival or something, we'd spend every night down here praying, begging God. But we're not willing to pay that kind of price. I know I'm just kind of preaching to the choir, but I'm telling you, folks, see, it's a literal command that First Baptist Church of Amboy reach the world for Christ. It's your responsibility, nobody else's. That's the way you got to think. And by the way, it's a literal command. And it can be done. But what we have to do is get back in this book and see, wait a minute, how did they do it? What kind of plan did they have to get people trained? Well, go back there to Acts chapter 2. Let me show you part of what they did. Go down to towards the end of the chapter in chapter 2. I'll start in verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. Fear came upon every soul. By the way, I'm not one that believes the fear of God is just a reverence. See, when the Egyptians got through it to Red Sea, you think they just had a reverence for God. See, I don't even think the Israelites just had a reverence for God. When that sea closed up on them Egyptians, and they're all out there screaming as they are drowning, I think there's a fear fell on everybody. I think they're scared to death. I really do. Now, it says here, fear, it says, came upon every soul, signs and wonders. They believe. Look at this, verse 44. And all that believed were together. Now, you know these folks can't be Baptists. Amen. And had all things common, sold their possessions and goods, parted them to all men as every man had need. Why are they doing that? Well, they realize that 3,000 that just got saved on the day of Pentecost need to go home and win folks to Christ. And they got to get them trained before they leave town. So what are they doing? Preacher, how can I invest in this? If I can sell my property over there, and will that help take care of some folks while we get them trained before we send them home? See, they were serious about this thing. But why? Because they thought they were supposed to reach the world. They thought that way. This thing's real, and we've got to do what we've got to do. Because Jesus is coming back any moment. That's really what they thought. He's coming back. We've got to reach the world before He gets here. So, and man, if it takes some money, so what? See, that's why Ananias and Sapphira are such in big trouble. Because, man, the people of God are sincere and trying to get things. Man, Ananias and Sapphira lied to God. They start telling everybody, oh, yeah, we sold that property for $10,000. They really got it for $20,000. God said, you're not going to sit there and lie like that. And now that kind of lying stuff's common in churches. You say, what does all this have to do with soul winning? I'm trying to get across to you. Listen to me. We have a literal command that God expects to be fulfilled. Now, understand, now, either He's an ogre that gave us that command that cannot be fulfilled, or He gave us a command that can be fulfilled. if we just follow His plan. I believe the helplessness of man proves that. The love of God proves His intent in getting the lost saved. So what's His plan? Well, He instituted a place called a church. Now, a church is people. We understand that. Amen? But see, what He did, He said, I'm going to build a church. All the church is going to be soldiers. All the soldiers are going to have responsibilities. The responsibility is get out in the world and get somebody. And get as many as you can. According to John chapter 15, he said you can bear fruit, more fruit, much fruit. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear what? Much fruit. See, he had an expectation that you and I would bear much fruit. See, that's what John chapter 15 is about. Those folks that are bearing fruit are good, but this is what he said. The more fruit, the better. All right? And today, we say, well, if you don't produce any fruit, and fruit in that instance is producing other Christians. Today, see, we're all right if we never bring anybody to church. We never win anybody. You can still be a great deacon. Not back then. See, y'all see how far we've backslidden on God? And we're all right with it. So, he put this place, these people called a church. He gave them leaders. We looked at that Sunday morning there in Ephesians chapter 4, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. See, my job, pastor's job, Sunday school teachers, your job, deacons, your job, leaders in a church, your job, is to do what? Train people to be fishers of men, bring them to a high level of skilled ability to be fishers of men. But let's be honest, when's the last time we had a Sunday school class like that? See, can I say it this way? Maybe it's a little self-promotion, but thank God that you've got a pastor that sees that kind of vision and brings somebody in and say, hey, we got to get back busy doing what the Bible says we ought to do. I'm not your pastor, amen? Now, if I was, I'd put some pressure on you when I left. I'd say, now, all right, now you've heard it. What are we going to do? And if we're not bringing visitors, we're not trying to get people saved every day, then what are we doing? Amen or not? See, so we've got trainers. We got this place of training. And the training's got to be specific. And we'll get in to that tonight. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 6 there, now brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Now, y'all know speaking in tongues was never some kind of hasta la chanaha, Kawasaki, Azuki, Yamaha, she came on a Honda. Amen. Never was some foolishness like that. It is always known languages. Amen. So Paul says, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, look at this. Charismatics need to get a hold of this. What shall I profit you? What good is it, he says? Except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine. And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a clear distinction in the sounds, how shall be known what's pipe or harp? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what's spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. In other words, as we go and talk to people, I see several things here. See, it's to be profitable. It's to be profitable. But if it's going to be profitable, then what we have to do is use words easy to be understood. See, as you and I go out soul winning, we have to remember back there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, anybody remember what that verse says? It says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, and their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. What did he just say? He said a lost man does not understand spiritual things at all. See, it's let me illustrate it. As I was growing up, I had that 67 Mustang. And it was nice. I had a 289. I had the 3-speed automatic, the C4 transmission. Man, it was nice. I had headers on it, had a Holley 654 barrel. That thing would scoot. It was a nice little car. And it was fun. It really was. But back then, if you was really going to be cool, you had to have an FM radio. Now, I was lost, so I was trying to be cool, amen. But all I had was an AM. Now, I could beat on my dash all I wanted. I can't get FM. Why not? Don't got a receiver. And see, what I'm trying to get across is this. You and I go out, and we want to debate doctrine with lost people. Boy, the King James is better Bible. Why, Catholic, what good? Catholic's not right. Baptist is. You bunch of retarded Lutherans. Move to Texas. Amen. I'm honest. Baptism won't save. See, to debate doctrine does not make any sense. Why? They do not and cannot understand. See, they don't have anything but an AM. So to debate doctrine with them, it's just... it's like beating them up. Now, might they have an opinion about some of it? Well, sure. But do they really understand? No way. They cannot. That's what God said. They cannot understand because it's spiritually discerned. So as we go, we are not going trying to debate doctrine with them. We are going using words easy to be understood. Amen? We're going to use simple, clear terms. That's why we need to illustrate the spiritual principles so that a natural man can understand. See, otherwise, he cannot understand them. That's why Jesus did exactly what he did. As he taught, he would illustrate principles. He'd take a spiritual principle, he'd illustrate it with some kind of natural event. So, understand, we need to learn that. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and look at what Paul said as he came to Corinth. We read it yesterday. Now, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. Let me stop right there. Don't you ever try to become a professional soul winner. You ruin yourself. See, that I'm convinced that's what happened to a lot of independent Baptist preachers. We got to be, you said it, I can win anybody. Man, if that's what you think, you're crazy. See, you and I don't win anybody. We can introduce them to the Savior. But He's the one that, if He's not working in their heart, can I tell you, ain't nobody getting saved? And there's sometimes, while we're down there at Brother De La Tell's, is that how you say it, Brother? I'm close anyway, aren't I? Y'all need to get another name. Amen. That's what I know. Netterville's hard enough, but anyway. as I was down there, we were talking to a fella, and this guy was, it took me a little while to figure it out, but he kept asking a lot of questions and stuff. I finally got close enough to him. I smell he's drunk. And I tell you, I don't believe that the Holy Spirit of God was within 100 miles of that place. That guy wasn't fixing to get saved. Why? He's drunk. I was wasting my time. I'm spinning my wheels. I can get out of here and go talk to somebody that can get saved. Amen? Now, I really, this is my hope, that maybe something that was said in our conversation stuck and the Holy Spirit of God could use it at a later time. But I don't believe he could come under conviction right then. So we've got to remember, man, the Holy Spirit of God is the one that does the work. Paul said, and if anybody, let me remind you here, if anybody could have been a professional soul winner, good night, it's Apostle Paul. Tell me somebody in the New Testament that knew New Testament doctrine better than the Apostle Paul. And look what he says in the next verse. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You know what he's saying? I'm sticking with the gospel. As I came to you lost Corinthians, I'm coming with one thing. I'm not talking about Judaism. I'm not talking about anything else. I'm talking about one thing. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And we have a huge advantage here in America in that most folks still have a biblical foundation. Now, the truth is not everybody in America does anymore, and you better be prepared for that. But see, you and I can pretty much start out with Jesus. Amen? Man, your son cannot do that over there. We've talked about that. And Cape Verde, if he tries that, they're going to look at him like he's a nut. Who is Jesus? See, they have to back up and start with creation and God and the Jews and on. We have an advantage that we can just go straight to Jesus because most folks in America still know who Jesus is. Now, that's not totally true, but on the majority it is. So when Paul said here, excuse me, he said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Then folks, listen, we ought to listen to Him. And as we go, don't look to debate doctrine with folks. They don't understand. Stick to the message. I'll finally get to it, Brother Bob. See, all sinners are like green beans. How many of y'all understand that? All right, let me, Miss Debbie's over here. I know. This is the deal. You go down here to what y'all's local liquor store down here that's Food Mart. Amen. You can go down there, go up here to Walmart and Dixon or Aldi's or whatever grocery store. You go in there. You go the vegetable aisle, amen, and go the canned vegetables and find the green bean section. Over there, I hate to admit it, Brother Bob, but there's going to be Libby's, Green Giant, then Del Monte, and then some kind of store brand. Amen. You open up that can, y'all, what's inside? Green beans. See, this is the point. A lost man may wear all different kind of labels, but on the inside, they're all the same. See, Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. See, what we need to focus on is this. Get them the gospel. Get the gospel to them. Focus right there. I don't know anything except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Just stick with that message. Why? Because they don't understand anything else. Man, I'm a motorcycle rider. I don't care. You need the gospel. I had a fellow tell us the other day down there in Princeton, I'm an atheist. Yeah, you need the gospel. I'm a Jew. You need the gospel. See, I don't care what their label is. I'm not saying there's not some verses that maybe could help us in winning a Jew or winning a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon or a Church of Christ. But what I am saying is, when it boils down to it, those things that they know are just carnal. They do not understand spiritual things. And where we can focus is this. And the message they need is the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. With, look at what he said here in verse 4. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Again, forget that professional soul winner stuff. But, what does it say? A demonstration of the Spirit and of power. See, that's where it doesn't matter what label they're wearing. That's where they can be overcome right there. The Holy Spirit can, listen, if he can speak to my heart, as hard as I was, as rebellious as I was, as uncaring. I was not looking to get saved. I was a single young man, and again, not trying to glorify sin, but I was working in a steel mill, and back then I was making, as just a laborer in a steel mill, making $15 an hour. That's back in the late 70s, early 80s. Man, that was great money. I was making money dealing drugs. I had 5 cars. I wasn't looking to get saved. See, what I'm saying is this. See, the Holy Spirit of God can get through any hard shell. But we've got to make sure that's what we're depending on. Not our smooth talk. See, I almost wanted to tackle a guy the other day. I taught on soul winning, and this is what he said. Man, that's kind of like, he said, it's kind of like being a car salesman. I wanted to kick him in the shin right there. He missed it. See, we're not trying to be slick-tongued salesmen. We're trying to introduce people to the Savior of this world through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Man, realizing I cannot do anything. I can try to be my best. I believe that's what it teaches back there in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. He said, and be ready always to give an answer to every man. That thing, sanctify, set apart that thing of the Lord God. And he said, man, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that's in you. And he ends it with this, in meekness and fear. Remember what I said? Fear is a what? Fear's a factor. Fear's a factor. Don't care who you are, how long you've been going, I still get nervous. I do. And I thank God for that because it causes me to lean on the Holy Spirit of God. I am not a professional soul winner. I'm not a slick-tongued salesman. But what I want to do is, God, as I go, please fill me with the Holy Spirit. God, help me to listen to you. Help me to lean upon you because that's what they need. But at the same time, remember Philemon verse 6, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. There's one of those watts, brother. All right. He said that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. And so that tells me, listen, I can be better. I can improve. Amen? I can go from that 30-fold 60-fold to 100-fold a Christian. I can go from producing fruit to more fruit to much fruit. Why? Or how? By working at it. See, it takes 3 things to be a good soul winner. No wasp. Three things. Practice. See, it takes you working at it and then getting on the job training, getting experience, getting out there and doing it. See, we've got to understand, it's kind of like my wife took Spanish classes when she was a senior in high school. Honey, go ahead, spill us out a long line of Spanish there. See, she can't even order in a Mexican restaurant. How come? She didn't use that Spanish and she lost it. And soul winning's like that. See, if you don't keep using it, you'll lose it. And we need to work at. Let's stop and think about this. How many of y'all went to either some kind of Votech school or college or something like that? Let me see your hand. Now, why'd y'all do that? Somebody just... Why?
Prepare for a job.
Huh? Isn't that something? And you didn't want to make much, right? See, isn't that why we go to school? We get a better education so that we can make more what? Money. And see, I mean, people have spent 4 years, 8 years. Man, be a doctor, lawyer, you got to spend any more. But we won't spend time studying and working at being the most important thing in all the world, and that's a soul winner. And it's not about money. So we're not going to work at that. We're not going to invest in that. And see, I understand I'm preaching pretty hard, but I'm still in love with my nation. I still believe we can have revival. And see, I go into churches and I see people that really care. See, you're not going to convince me you don't care. Maybe Brother John doesn't, but the rest of y'all, I mean, honest, this is the crowd that cares. And if you care, then there's people out there that need you. People that will listen to you that will never listen to me because they never know me. See, I don't work at Del Monte. I don't work at Ken Nelson. See, God puts you there not for a good job. God puts you there to win folks to Christ. And we quit thinking that way. See, again, I'm a retarded Texan. I get it. I really think this way. Listen, why do you think God gave you that car? You think He gave you that so you can get back and forth to the grocery store and go to work? Let me tell you why He gave you that thing. So you can go pick somebody up on Sunday and bring them down to the house of God. That's why He gave you that thing. See, we don't need bus ministries. Now, I love the bus ministry. But if everybody do what they're supposed to be doing with that vehicle God gave them, I know that's strange preaching. But I'm a nut. I believe that kind of stuff. And I just believe the people of God, just somewhere along the way, we quit thinking in a biblical way. And I'm not telling you, I promise you that I'm not telling anybody anything new tonight that you hadn't heard before. Nothing new. What I'm doing is just reminding you of what you've read time and again. So, listen, training's got to be clear. It's got to be specific. It's got to be with power. It needs to be effective. And the result is this in Acts 8:4, and they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Everywhere. So why don't you have a pocket full of tracks right now? See, why don't you have you ever? How many of y'all believe in carrying a concealed weapon? Brother John, where's your hand? Good night. He probably got two or three guns on him right now. See, right here, there's a concealed weapon. See, if you go to the door like this. Let me help you. They ain't coming to the door. They're going to say, hey, Billy Bible's out there. Everybody, shh. I have them do that. You know, I want to say, I heard you. I mean, they even grab the dog by the muzzle, you know, and try to shut him up. They turn the TV down. Shh, shh, duh. I've already heard what you're in there. But I'm serious. Get you a New Testament. They'll cost you anywhere from $10, $20, something like that. But, man, get that. Stick it in your back pocket. Keep it with you all the time. Get you a pocket full of tracts. Why? Be ready always. Go down to Walmart, hand that cashier a tract, and say, hey, now don't miss heaven. It'd be an awful thing for you to miss heaven. You drive through the bank. Man, I heard the craziest thing the other day. How many of y'all get all those credit card offers? Anybody get that junk in the mail? Yeah. And all of them have this self-addressed stamped envelope. Amen, that you send back in with your application. Man, take that envelope, stick a track in it, send it in. I've never heard of that. I'm serious. There's a lady down in Missouri that said that the other day, and I thought, man, that's a great idea. See, what Brother Hiles, you say it like this. Man, you ought to be looking for every opportunity you can to get another hook in the water. So every opportunity. We ought to be looking. How can I get the gospel to somebody? Now, let me say just a few practical things, and I need to quit, and we're going to change gears here. You're in a small town. What's the population around here? 2,400. Let me help you here. You cannot be aggressive like I can back home in Houston area. See, if you try that here, can I tell you, you're going to make the town mad at you and ain't nobody ever coming? Amen? So we do have to use wisdom, all right? God gave us a pastor. And I believe this with all my heart. Again, God gives the pastor wisdom that the rest of us do not have. He gives them direction that the rest of us do not have. All right? And so understand, as we go, we are an extension of the pastor. Let me help you right here what I mean by that. He's in charge. You quit trying to be. Did I say that nice enough? Amen. You're not the one in charge around here. Amen. God didn't call you to be the pastor. He called Brother Fritz. You let him be the pastor. Now, let me help you right here. I just ate dinner with him a while ago, and I looked. He's just a man. But see, he's God's man. Now, to him, he thinks I'm nothing special. Amen. But see, we need to look at him in a whole different light. So what we have to understand, now wait a minute, the pastor has some wisdom, so he's going to help us as we reach Amboy. But listen, we need to go soul winning all the time. So go over here to Peru and go soul winning. Go up to Dixon and go soul winning. Man, there's houses all over out through the country there. Just take an hour or two and go drive up to a house and get out and go try to share the gospel with them. But don't get crazy here in Amboy and make everybody mad. That's not going to help you. All right? So we do have to, you know, we have to be wise as serpents. Amen. Harmless as doves. So, you know, again, what I'm trying to get across is just follow the pastor's leadership in those kind of things. Be careful. I can go back home. I'm in a town of 100,000 down in Pasadena, Texas. Man, if you get mad at me, I got another apartment project over here I can go to. You know, but y'all can't do that, all right? And it's a lot of family and friends. Everybody knows everybody here. And y'all understand the hardest people to win is your family. Everybody already knows that. and under. Well, I'm going to talk about that later. Let's take just maybe a 5-minute break, 7 minutes. The clock back there has set.